did God send his good news, his salvation, and his blessing into the United States because we're all such good people? No. No, it has to do with God's mercy and God's grace. And whenever you look at these issues of forgiveness and walking with him, you come face to face with this grace and this mercy.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. The amazing thing about God is that he doesn't owe us anything, and yet he continues to show us his love and amazing grace. Find out how this grace can transform your life as David McGee continues in Romans 9 with "By his grace, not by works." Here's David.
So we're in Romans chapter 9, and we left off around verse 22. So let's pick it up. Romans chapter 9, verse 22 reads, "What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory?" So the Lord endures with long suffering sometimes and often, really every time. We're just aware of it sometimes. There's been times in my life when I thought in my own human wisdom that God may have been harsh or judgmental or quick to judge, but you know what? That's inconsistent with his nature. This plane that was flying out of New York ran into some birds and then had to do an emergency landing on the water. And of course, it was going to Charlotte, so you know, that's in the area, so staff was concerned, praying, and then to hear that everyone survived, that not one person was lost. And it was really cool because when they asked the people afterwards, they said, well, you know, some of them were praying. Now, we're tempted to go, well, because they were praying is why God saved every one of them. Time out. Wait a minute. Were every one of them praying? No, couldn't have been. And let's go one step further. Let's understanding human nature and people. There was a couple of people that were on that plane. There was probably some good people, you know, some believers and stuff. There was probably some serious rascals that were on that plane that were messing up and maybe even messing up at that moment. And yet, God in his mercy kept every one of them alive. So the more I know about God and the more I look into the word, the more I see how merciful he is. The more I know myself, the more merciful I see he is. And how slow he really is to allow destruction and judgment to fall on we who really deserve it from time to time, don't we? So that we can be vessels of mercy, verse 23. Isn't that a cool phrase? Vessels of mercy, trophies of grace, if you will. Not necessarily, well, I'm getting it all right, and because I'm getting it all right now, God is blessing me. And No. Trophies of his grace, vessels of mercy. I think if non-Christians, unbelievers, understood that we were vessels of mercy, trophies of grace, that somehow Christianity, a relationship with Jesus, would appeal to him much more. But what happens, and the thing that we share with what Paul's dealing with in here, is that we often paint the picture that being a Christian is about rights and wrongs and a list of do's and don'ts. And if somebody will go down this list of do's and don'ts, then they can join our special little elite club. Again, if you doubt that, please ask people. Ask people why they don't become Christians. Ask people why they don't ask Jesus to forgive them of their sins. And most of the time, they will begin a list of do's and don'ts, not fully understanding the grace of God and the mercy of God. Let's look at verse 24. "Even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles." So the Lord, and it speaks in the Gospels, and we've spoken about this before, came to the Jew first. We've seen the life of Paul. He would go to the synagogue whenever he get to a town first. And Jesus came for the Jews, and also for the Gentiles. Now, let's understand, because now we kind of classify, well, there's Jews and there's kind of non-Jews, and we define Gentiles as non-Jewish people, and I guess that's a representation, but it's really not that accurate. Literally, it means idol worshipers. So you had the Jewish people who were spiritual to a degree, and not every one of them, but as a group were spiritual. They attended synagogue. They engaged in sacrifices and worshiped the Lord. And then you had these Gentiles who worshiped idols, who engaged in all these pagan things and fertility rites and parties and orgies and all these things. And God came for both. See, what Paul is dealing with here is this fact of, well, God really owed the Jewish people salvation and forgiveness. And while we're very comfortable discussing that, let's make that a little more personal. Because I think oftentimes we believe that because of our right doing, the things that we do correctly, that God somehow owes us grace, mercy, and forgiveness. Nothing could be further from the truth. Did God send his salvation, the Messiah, the Mashiach Naji, the coming prince, the Messiah, the anointed one? Did he send Jesus into Israel because Israel was basically filled with good people? No. And we're okay with that one. Let me ask you another question. Did God send his good news, his word of salvation, into Europe because it was filled with good people? No. No. Okay. We're all tracking together now. Did God send his good news, his salvation, and his blessing into the United States because we're all such good people? No. No, it has to do with God's mercy and God's grace. And whenever you look at these issues of forgiveness and walking with him, you come face to face with this grace and this mercy. This passage that Paul's going back and forth with in the Hebrew scriptures of the Old Testament, it also contains a phrase that shows up again in 1 Peter. And I want you to listen. It just speaks of the grace of God. Speaking of the priesthood of believers, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, of those who believe Jesus, but you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. What an amazing passage. This is not a holy nation. Is it talking about America? No, it's talking about God's people. God's people being a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. And when we speak of the priesthood, believers, meaning that any of us can come to Jesus. Now, the Lord put into place this thing we call church, and it's a great place to learn about the Bible and come together in fellowship. But the reality is, you don't have to come here to spend time with the Lord. You don't have to email me or call me and say, well, Pastor, I need something. I got to go to the Lord with something. You don't have to go through me. That's not the system we have. Now, Hebrew scriptures in the Old Testament, there was a high priest who did go before you and help atone for your sins and have sacrifices and stuff, and I'm so glad we don't do that. I'm so glad I don't do it. Can you imagine making sin offerings for all you guys? You would never see me. You'd come here on Sunday morning, it's Pastor Dave. He's out back. He's killing something. He'd been back there since last Tuesday. No, Jesus was the sacrifice once and for all. And because of that, heaven's gates are open wide. And at any moment, at any time, bid by the Spirit of God, you can come to him. What a marvelous treasure. And Paul is speaking, saying, you know what? Not only of the Jews who were somewhat spiritual, somewhat religious, but also of the Gentiles. These idol worshipers, these people that really weren't looking for the Lord. I think some of us can identify with that. Some of us maybe were being spiritual, going to churches, visiting churches, reading spiritual books. But let's be honest. A lot of us weren't. When all of a sudden God interrupted our life in a big way. And life forever changed.
We read about it online, watch it on television, and hear about it on the radio. Our world is filled with violence and fear.
What is terrorism? Terrorism is defined as criminal acts intended or calculated to provoke a state of terror in the general public. Terror is the use of extreme fear in order to coerce people. They did a poll. This is by far the most important event to Americans. You know what my Savior tells me? You know what my Jesus tells me? In John 14:27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Sadly, anxiety and fear sometimes comes into play and we don't act. Courage is not the lack of fear, it's acting in spite of fear. And let's remember something, that it was not what they thought, it was not what they felt, it was what they did.
Join David McGee as he helps you and your loved ones to walk in peace and not be afraid of what the future holds. The product Know Your Future, Be Immune to Terrorism is our gift to you for a donation of any amount to Cross the Bridge Ministries. This offer is only available this month, so call today to receive your copy of Know Your Future by dialing 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com. Now let's return to our study.
Let's look at verse 25. As he says also in Hosea, "I will call them my people who are not my people, and her beloved who is not beloved." This whole thing, understand, this whole thing of some of the people of Israel rejecting Jesus as the Messiah was prophesied. And we spoke about this before, but for context's sake, let's understand, because sometimes we think, well, all the Jewish people rejected Jesus as their Messiah. That was totally inaccurate. Many of the priests, the disciples, obviously were all Jewish. And so the priest, it says, the book of Acts says that many of them came to faith in Jesus. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. Did all of them? No. Did some of them? Absolutely. Now, I think it will help us to kind of look at this and understand why did they miss Jesus as the Messiah? Because we look at all the prophecies, and Jesus fulfilled over 300 different specific prophecies in coming the first time. And we look at that and go, well, why didn't they reckon him? Because they were looking really for a political leader more than a spiritual Messiah. They were under the tyranny of Rome, and they wanted to throw off the yoke of Rome. And they wanted the Messiah to, I want the Messiah to look like this and act like this, and this is what it looks like, and this is what it acts like. And that's part of Judas's, his frustration, I believe, in part was due to the fact that he began to suspect that Jesus was not going to liberate them politically. Friend, anytime we look to a political leader to liberate us, we're headed for trouble. See, because we're placing a burden on that person that there's just no way he or she can fulfill. And so they were looking for this political leader, and as they were looking for this political leader, they looked right past Jesus the Messiah. Now this historically, I mean, this is what we do a lot of times. This is, we're stumbling through life, we're going through things, and somebody tells us about Jesus, and we go, nah, that's not it, it's something else. I'm looking for something else. There's something, maybe success, maybe, I don't know, maybe this, maybe girlfriend, boyfriend, job, car, house, and that's what it is. It's not Jesus. And we look past Jesus. The Israelites, early on, they wanted a king. They were set up in what we call a theocracy, which just means God governed. But they wanted a king. They said, we want to be like other nations. We want a king. And God said, okay, I'll give you a king. They said, well, we want a king now. You know, kind of like a 3 or 4 year old or something. We want a king now. So God gave them Saul. Now we've studied through the Hebrew scriptures. If you've looked at it for very long, Saul's an interesting character. A lot of great leadership skills, but not a real godly man. As a matter of fact, it's always interesting when you're introduced to a Bible character, notice what they're doing when you first see them. Some of the disciples were what? Were fishing. And Jesus said, you'll become fishers of men. And some of those became evangelists. When we look at the life of Saul, what do we see? What, the first introduction in the Saul is what? He lost his dad's donkeys. It's not like really instilling confidence, is it? Compare that to David. When we first meet David, what was David doing? David was out in the field caring for the sheep. Didn't even come home. And we see the shepherd heart in a godly leader. And I believe God was going to give David as the king. The people got impatient, and they got Saul. Sure made him appreciate David, didn't it? First life lesson here, be careful of impatience. It is often your enemy. Be careful of impatience. It is often your enemy. As we look at why they looked past Jesus as the Messiah, I think they were going, we want political deliverance and we want it now. That's how trouble happens. As a matter of fact, if you fast forward through the book of Revelation, what's going to happen there? There's going to be a group of people that says, we want political deliverance now, and we want this political leader, and it will usher in the Antichrist. So that's part of the reason they were blinded. But as we look at Hosea, well, let's read verse 26, and then we'll talk about Hosea a little bit. This quote in Romans 9 is from the book of Hosea. Verse 26, and it says, and it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. These people he was writing to, speaking to, probably had an understanding of Hosea. And I would encourage you probably in the next week or two to read the book of Hosea. It's about 14 chapters. It's not that long. Hosea was a prophet. And very interesting thing happened. God came to him and said, I want you to marry a prostitute. It's a weird thing for God to say, but that's what God said to Hosea. I want you to go and marry a prostitute. So Hosea goes and finds a prostitute and gets married. And she leaves the lifestyle. Gomer was her name. Female. Gomer. Because when you hear Gomer, we got to get healed because we just always think of Gomer. Gomer. Gomer Pyle. He going to kill me, going to kill me, going to kill me dead. So it's not, the young people are going, what is he talking about? Gomer. Female named Gomer. And what happened, Hosea had a family with Gomer. And I think three kids. And then Gomer went back to the lifestyle. After they were married and had a family, she went back to being a prostitute. And Hosea is a prophet, a man of God, and yet being so compassionate, went looking for her. And he looked, and he looked, and he looked. And then in a market, he found her, up basically for sale. And he bought her, and he returned her home. It's such an awesome story about the compassion and the love and the loyalty of God. But it's also fairly convicting. Because, see, that was a picture that was given. If you read the book, the rest of the chapters are talking about how that was God's relationship with Israel. How he had rescued them from prostitution and idolatry and all this stuff. And basically they had gone back. And that he was looking for them to purchase them. Now, we're all okay with that because we go, okay, well, silly Israelites, they wander around. No. Let's expand that a little bit. That's God's relationship with his people. The bride of Christ, brought out of idolatry, brought out of prostitution, and yet we tend to wander back into those things that held us before, don't we? And Jesus goes into the marketplace and purchases us. I don't know if you ever heard this story. It's a great story. There's this violin that's being auctioned. And it's old, it's dusty, it's out of tune, and it's messed up. And the guy goes to auction it, and nobody wants it. So he sets it to the side and continues with the auction. About that time, an older gentleman walks up and looks at the violin and begins to polish it up a little bit, listens to it and begins to tune it up. Then he begins to play a beautiful song on the violin. The auctioneer, obviously sensing the moment, took the violin and he said, now how much am I bid for the violin? And the bidding started at like $500. And somebody came up after and said, well, I don't understand. Nobody wanted that violin before, but then the thing sold for over $1,000. The auctioneer, very wise words, said, well, it appeared worthless to the crowd, but after it was touched by the master's hand, everyone recognized its worth. Isn't that like you and I? Dusty, beat up, scarred by sin. But when God gets a hold of us and he begins to do a work in our life, he purchases us. Then sometimes people go, oh, yeah. Okay, I see. Things are going well in life. But again, coming back to this, Hosea, it's all about the grace and the mercy of God, the love of God. I think sometimes we take the love of God for granted. We don't talk about it. We don't focus on it enough. The love that was extended to us at the cross. Understand, here's God, here's us. There's a huge gulf in the middle. There's no way we can jump over. Our own righteousness won't get us over. That would be like jumping the Grand Canyon. The Grand Canyon's huge. You can't jump over it. I was amazed when I went to the Grand Canyon, and just pictures don't do it justice. Look at the vast expanse. And when first time I went there, you know, the kids were little, and we went out there, and I was just like, oh, my, look at this, you know. The kids come run up. Let's go. So this is the Grand Canyon. I know, we've seen it. Let's go. Take a picture. But there's no way, standing at that immense, there's no way I could jump over the Grand Canyon. There is no way in your righteousness you can achieve a relationship with God. No way. What if I got a big running start? Not going to make it. So Jesus gives his death on the cross as the bridge across that great divide. Why did he do that? Why did Jesus die for us? It's love. Years ago, I read this little track, and it was talking about the love gospel, and it was really just slamming a focus on the love of God or the significance of the love of God. I thought, man, this is a crazy track, because Jesus was motivated by love, his love for us. Nails can't hold God to a tree. You understand that? When Jesus was on the cross, he could have called a legion of angels. He'd have been done. Why didn't he? He was dying for us. Dying for you and me. And it talks about we shall be called the sons of the living God. We've spoken to John 1:12 says that any who receive him, any who believe in him can become children of God. Any. Isn't that amazing? Any. That'd be like walking in a room full of people and telling them you'd adopt anybody that wanted to be adopted. 1 John 3:1 says, behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. 1 John 4:16 says, and we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God and God in him. Reason this is coming back to this is God loves people. I don't know why. You know, we read that passage that God loved Jacob and either hated or loved Esau less, and why did he not like Esau? That's not the question. The question is, why did he love Jacob? As we look at this reference back to the book of Hosea, and we think about this man who was wedded to this woman, who went back into prostitution. And obviously, from Levitical law, the man would have been in his rights to divorce her and forget about her. But is that what he did? No. He went around calling for her, looking for her. And then when he found her, what did he do? Tell her how messed up she was? And no, he purchased her to come back home. And we're given this passage and this reference to remind us of what God's heart is like.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me, that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead, that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you've prayed this prayer with Pastor David, receiving Jesus Christ for the first time, or rededicating your life to the Lord, please call and let us know. We want to send you our exclusive First Steps package for free. This package will help you grow in your new life. Receive your First Steps package by calling 877-458-5508. That's 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com. When you call, let our call team representative know where you heard about our broadcast. One of the most important parts of growing in Christ is being in fellowship at a local church. But what happens on those times you're sick or traveling? Simply log on to crossthebridge.com and click the live stream button, and you'll instantly be streaming from David McGee's home church, The Bridge. Catch every life lesson and scripture reference as you take part in hearing the Word of God from anywhere in the world. Pastor David McGee teaches live online Sunday mornings at 9 and 11:15. Watch this week at crossthebridge.com. Cross the Bridge with David McGee is a ministry dedicated to sharing the whole Bible with the whole world. If you've been blessed by Cross the Bridge, consider financially supporting this ministry. Your gift will be used to reach more people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, while also supplying resources to new believers. To give, simply call 877-458-5508. Or visit us online at crossthebridge.com and click on the donate button. Once there, you can choose to give a one-time gift or become a Bridge Builder monthly supporter. Also, while visiting crossthebridge.com, make sure to sign up for Pastor David's free email devotional, as well as browse through our many online resources. Thanks for listening to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. Join us again next time and invite your family and friends to listen as together we cross the bridge.